This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So welcome to episode 6 of the One Was Had a Dream podcast. Today's podcast, I have a special guest, and tonight joining us from the AFC Women and Ladies team is Megan Stowe. So thanks very much for joining me. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, good. It's nice to be here, to be understanding more about AFC Wimbledon and the fans and everything like that. So yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
That's fine. That's why I wanted to get you on, really, because it's kind of a new squad this year, it seems, the ladies team. So, yeah, it's good to get you on and get more about the ladies team out to the fans, really. So, first off, just tell us a bit about yourself, really. Where'd you come from, your football history, and how you ended up being at Wimbledon?
Yeah, cool. So, I live in East Grinstead in West Sussex. I have done all my life. I grew up playing boys football. My brother's only 18 months older than me, so I just want to do everything he did. So I played boys football for a long time whilst playing for Brighton, Hove Albion Centre of Excellence, it was called then, before they changed it to like an RTC now, I think it's called. So I was there for a year, then got picked up by Charlton Athletic and was there for 7 years till I was 15. So yeah, alongside playing boys football till I was about 11, started to move over to just girls football. And then when I was 15, the FA actually cut the funding in half for women's clubs across, like, especially the South East. I think it was across the board. So it was between, like, Charlton, Millwall. Millwall got the funding. You had, like, Chelsea, Fulham. Chelsea got the funding. So a lot of these clubs lost a lot of funding, which was a shame. So I decided to go back to Brighton, played there for 3 years, sort of, played first team football at 16, breaking into the first team, which was cool. And then when I was 19, I sort of had like finished my A-levels and went out to America on a full scholarship out there. I was in California for 2 years, like studying and playing, and then moved to Miami in Florida for 2 years, which was wicked. Like, yeah. Absolutely my favourite place on the planet.
I was going to say that must have been, bit different from East Grinstead to Miami.
Honestly, well, yeah. And then I met my boyfriend like after my first semester out there, and we did like long distance, which is mad. Like, my mum and dad thought I was going to meet like a Brad or a Hank, and I met Aiden from East Grinstead. Everyone was like cussing. I just got cussed the whole time. So then I come home, and it was really hard moving home, obviously moving home from, you know, clear water and sandy beaches back to grotty old England. And I joined Crawley, who were kind of, they'd been promoted from tier 5 of women's football into tier 4, and they had a girl very well known in the women's football world called Naomi Cole playing there. And you know, she's ex-England, Millwall, like, she's a quality footballer. So they sort of reached out and put this amazing team together. Like, bear in mind, none of us were getting paid, nothing. It was just this, honestly, this team was insane. And we literally won, like, the league that AFC Wimbledon ladies are in now, we tore it apart. We lost one game all year, played Arsenal in the FA Cup, which is like, you've got to win the Carabao Cup, don't you, the men's side. It's a massive occasion for like this women's only team. It wasn't associated to Crawley Town, still isn't, to be fair. It was like, it was mad. So played for them. Yeah, we got to the League Cup final. Amazing achievement. And then the last 2 years I was there, because I only came in November to AFC. Basically, it's weird because obviously with COVID, they've null and voided the second year I was there, which is like the 19-20 year. And then the same thing happened with 2021 anyway. And I left halfway through the 2021 to move to AFC Wimbledon. And I moved in November. So last year, and it was between the two lockdowns. So yeah, I sort of spoke to Kev. I had a couple of other clubs I was looking at, and I was told by people that I know to go to AFC Wimbledon. They've got, you know, this is their plan. Like, and it is a bit of a dream, but I don't think we're far off it. Like you say, the side we've got on paper, like the team. I mean, I knew Kev was gonna be looking for quality players, and he sort of said that to me, you know, to like see how it goes this year. Because I mean, we didn't play any football. It was literally, we trained a bit, went into that other lockdown over Christmas, come back after Christmas, and then it was just like playing a little bit, but it was still a bit like, oh, COVID.
All up in the air kind of thing.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so going into this year, it's been amazing, really. But yeah, that's kind of the story behind where I've come from and who I've played for. But yeah, it's been a journey, all right. And I'm, 26 now, so I'm not quite on the way out yet.
You still got many years left behind you. But
yeah,
for the fans like myself, I'm not too familiar with the lower leagues of women's football. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Premier League now is massive. It's gaining popularity all the time within like all the football. Mm-hmm. So what is the equivalent of the league that, say, AFC Wimbledon are in the, because you've got the, obviously, the Premier League, which is Arsenal, Man City, all the ones who've got a lot of money. Are Wimbledon just below that, or is it just another one below that kind of thing?
Yeah, so you've got like the Super League, so like the top league, and you've got one below, which is Championship. Then you've got Tier 3, which is what I was in, which I got promoted with Crawley. And then AFC Wimbledon are in Tier 4, so it'd be like Premiership League, like League 1, League 2 football, really. Like, and to be fair, there's teams like, you could play Tier 3 and Tier 4 now, the way that a lot of more like foreign players are coming into those top teams and stuff, that it's like funneling down, if that makes sense. So like the standard, even at like this level and even below us, there's players that, you know, have played or should be playing high level. So across the board, it's this, like the league we're in now is like different to what it was when I played in it 3 years ago. So yeah, it's like League One, League Two football.
Yeah, because I live up in Essex, always have done pretty much. So I obviously heard of Billericay Town, hashtag obviously trying to do things now with their women's and their kids' football. Do you think with men's football, I put a lot of it down to COVID, that like AFC Wimbledon assigned better suppliers because a lot of people don't want to move too far away from home. Is that similar to the women's game? Is that you're finding that people within COVID, they don't want to move, or they'd rather stay close, near, maybe not go to America at the moment, which you said a lot of people would have gone to scholarships and they're staying closer.
Youngsters, I think a lot of clubs will benefit from, like, a lot of the bigger clubs that have the funding now. Because, I mean, Brighton, I mean, they've just built, for example, like the women's, like the men's backing. I don't know if it's the chairman or something, whoever puts all the money into Brighton men's side has literally built them a whole complex. It is insane at Lancing. So, you, like, when you're in that sort of system, I mean, it's beneficial to them if you don't go anywhere, obviously, but I think a lot of the girls it will be on hold. But yeah, I think a lot of my age and below would have probably been looking to maybe try and go to Europe potentially. But I think the standard of football here now, especially around the southeast, is good. So like, even if people did have to travel to like up to Essex from, or to, even we got like Norwich and stuff, it's quite far. But I see what you're saying. Yeah, I don't think it affects us as much. But it's interesting that you say that about men's football, that they wouldn't want to travel as much.
Yeah, it's because like we've signed people like McCormick and Marsh and stuff with Spurs, Chelsea. They might have had bigger clubs looking at them from up north and stuff, and might think, well, actually, I don't want to go up north, and then we get put in another lockdown, and then I've got no support network around me. So that's why I didn't have, that was similar to the women's game. I was going to ask this question later on, but as we're discussing the whole of the women's game before moving back to AFC Wimbledon, what would you put the factors behind why the women's game is growing so big? Like, there's low back, like when I was started supporting Wimbledon like 20, 30 years ago, Brighton didn't have a lot of money. They were playing at Gillingham and stuff. Well, now they've got the Amex, they're building centres. why, what would you put the factors that the women's game has just blown up kind of thing now?
I just think because people are seeing it more, like genuinely, I think it's like young girls, like all my heroes were men, like growing up, that's all I could see. It was like, I'm a centre midfielder, so it was like Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard, like standard players. But I think, you know, if you were to look at the history of women's football, it's so interesting. And there's been more about it, as you might have seen. But I mean, it was banned like after the war, like because people enjoyed watching it. It was then banned for 50 years. So say we were here, you know, however many years ago. And then basically the government said no, or the FA basically said no, any men's teams that were associated to women's teams, like, you know, it can't happen, or your team, like they're basically bin you basically. So yeah, it was binned off for 50 years. So I think the way it's amazing. So say I went to America when I was 19, and like I said, Brighton was on the verge of when they were breaking to the professional sort of standard, but still a couple of years off, but it has just exploded. And I think it's come from people, like the fans buying into it a bit more. I think commercially it has to be a product, doesn't it? And I just don't think you still can't really compare until you've watched women's football. They're not comparable. They're two different sports in their own right. And I think that's what is the hardest for women that do play football. And, you know, you get whoever saying rubbish about us all the time. And it is being filtered out. Like you've got Sky Sports, like, you know, commenting to these posts. It's amazing. So yeah, I think on the whole, it's just funding for one. I mean, the fact that I've got, you know, half the people I've played with growing up are full-time professional footballers. And to say that you could do that, if like if I was to go back and be in school and know that I could have the opportunity to play like football like full-time, that's an amazing, amazing goal to have. And it's not an unrealistic one now. And it was unrealistic when I was at school. So, you know, I just think you've got to see it to be it. And as a young girl, for me, having those role models and seeing the England team like do well, and it's just, yeah, I think it's the coverage of it. And even like Barclays, Sky Sports, like Sky Sports having all the football on Sunday, you know, while we had an international break was a really good move. Because, you know, even if you're passively watching it, you can see the standard of football. It's fantastic. So yeah, I think even just seeing like the one club mentality thing, you've got Southampton men's like that. I mean, it's complicated, but it's nice to see that they will appreciate, you know, that the women's side's doing well. And they're only the league above us, for example. And then even Chelsea men's always retweeting their stuff and that. So, yeah, it's just the exposure. But you're right. I do you know what? I couldn't even tell you like the one thing it is. It's a mixture of so many things, I think.
For me, as obviously a man watching, like, and the blow up of women's football, it came from the Olympics. Mm-hmm. So when the women's team had an Olympics and it was in the UK, and that whole furore around the Olympics at the time, and then people were sitting and actually watching women's football, I think, for the first time. Mm-hmm. I said, when I was growing up, it was literally in school. It was meant the boys were playing football and the women had to go off and play netball and stuff like that. You wouldn't see women playing football. Mm-hmm. I struggle with a bit now with why the girls have to then go into girls' team and not play with the boys still, because I've seen some girls who would absolutely destroy some of the boys. My boy's a goalkeeper and plays, and he's had girls put it in top bins and stuff against him. And do you know what I mean? And I struggle with that a little bit, why that is allowed to happen still, because I kind of get it, because obviously that age group, also boys coming into their find out about their bodies, and girls the same thing kind of thing. And
it's a complicated one, because I know that they extended it to, I think it's 13 now, but it was 11 when I was younger. But I was the same. I was, you know, putting boys on the floor, but actually probably because I grew quicker, so like I, you know, it was like I, even around here, used to play like school football, and I'll be on a night out and someone will be like, I actually remember when you nutmegged me like in a tournament. I'll be like, so yeah, it's one of these things. It's so true. I think it's just blown up. But yeah, I think with the thing with the men's and women's, I don't think, I mean, even if you saw like the soccer aid stuff, they had a couple of like they had the Scottish lady who was class, and like was it not Ellen White? I can't remember Kelly Smith. Yeah, she was on there. So you've got like legends that are still like, you could put them on a picture with some men and they'd still do bits. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's a tough one physically. I just don't think you can keep girls going at that age. But you do have girls that play, like girls teams that play like under 12s or whatever in boys leagues, which I think is great. I think you're right. I think that's a really good thing, because when you watch women's football, for example, in a really good comparison, I think it's good when you coach even young girls and young boys. Girls just are always, well, you know, you're married to a woman. You look like women think about things so much more than what men do sometimes. So men, I'd say, are more impulsive or won't really hesitate, where I think women will sort of analyze situations, be thinking about it almost too much. But sometimes it can make the game look slower, if that makes sense. Because I genuinely think, well, one, physically, I mean, men are going to be stronger at times, but I think technique-wise, women are on par. I think it's just, when you watch the game, I just think it's the way men and women can think a bit differently, in my opinion. And that's what I see anyway.
Well, because men are the better multitaskers, aren't they, really? So, start that off straight away. No, I'm joking. But we'll move on. We'll take it back to AFC Wimbledon before I put my foot in my mouth. But yeah, that was it. So how has it started, the season started, personally for yourself and also for the team? Because I've seen that you've won two, lost two, and recently drew with Norwich, which I understand the keeper had an absolute class game, and it should have been.
Apparently she's only 16. I can't, like, do you know what? It's amazing. Like, there's so much that's been sort of on our shoulders and we have to embrace it. But I think some of us have let it get to us a little bit. We had a really good chat last night that I'll sort of round back off to. But yeah, so started, well, Kent, we've first game of the season, 2-1. That's a, you know, solid win, consistent. Then we go to Billericay the day after. Yeah. So that was, I mean, it was 1-0, should have been 2. The ball went over the line, controversial decision. I'm like, shouldn't have tweeted about it.
I see.
Like,
I was just about to say, I saw you tweeted. Did you get pulled in at all? Or did you get,
No, well, yeah, I think it was like, even tonight, he was like, don't swear, don't do this. Like, so that happened. And then midweek, I mean, off the back of that, I think, well, we lost 2-1. And I mean, going in at 2-0 at Billericay, and Billericay are a strong side. They're scrappy. They've made some good signings as well. That would have set the tone for that going into that game on the Wednesday. Even at 2-0, I'd have taken the 2-0. I wouldn't have even minded if we drew it. But yeah, the second half, it was like an uphill struggle at times. Obviously going 2-1 down, it's not nice to chase a game. So yeah, that was rubbish to lose that. And then Wednesday was mad, really. So we went like 3-0 down in like the first 25 minutes, maybe. Like, so then obviously half time, it's like, right, relax, like, we've got this, we can go out, we've got some of the best strikers in this league going forward, you know, we're solid. And I can't even tell you, we were watching the footage back, I mean, 15, 16 clear in front of the goal chances. And it's one of them things. It's football, isn't it? Like, at the end of the day, you take three chances, you score all three. Yep. Like, that's it, isn't it? So yeah, and then they didn't get a peep at goal really after that. So yeah, to lose Ash scored a free kick, so it was 3-1. And then last week, then we played Cambridge. That was a win. That was a good win, a solid win. And then we could have scored multiple times. And then, yeah, past weekend. I mean, the thing is, Norwich City, like, they've just got a load of load of funding. They've not had the best start to this season, but it doesn't mean they're not a good side. So I think sometimes when you come up against these teams and you look at their results, which you almost shouldn't do sometimes, you sort of go into it a little bit relaxed, which...
Yep.
We shouldn't have, especially off the way, you know, we haven't started great. So, you know, we've still dropped 7 points. So, going into it, it was a weird one. I mean, they were a good little side. I mean, they popped the ball around, like, they were confident. They came at us like, to be fair, the goalkeeper wiped me out. I was one of the goalkeeper. And honestly, she had a blunt. She was great. Like, for a youngster, she played really well. And, you know, top of the box, Popovic was pinging them at her. She was pulling off some really good saves, but they deserved the goal. They opened us up. We were just almost too far away from each other. So yeah, a 1-1 result is gonna, you know, spur them on against us. And you know, anyone coming to play us, even at Carr Shorten, and when we do play at Plough Lane, you look at us and on paper, and you've got all, you know, when you look at our careers and where we've been, and you know, even though we've got players like the men's side coming up through the academy, and then players coming in. And everyone likes each other. There's a good vibe. There's actually no excuse for us not to be winning games and not to be playing well. So this goes back to the conversation we had at training last night. And it was the right conversation, because, you know, you could feel the coach and stuff weren't happy on Sunday, and no one was happy. Like, obviously, it felt like we lost the game, to be fair, even though we still got a point. So I think that says a lot about the expectations we have of ourselves. But also, we know the expectations of what the club has too, as a whole. And we don't want to let anyone down or whatever. So, it is coming. There's no reason for it not to. So we all, you know, got it out on the table. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't bitchy or anything. It was like, look, this is how we feel. Like, you know, what we're going to do, you know, address everything, and then talked about how we're going to move forward, and had a really good session afterwards. So sometimes I think, just having those sort of, you know, grown up conversations, it's something you need to do. So yeah, I wouldn't say it's been a rough start. We're mid table, but I think we're not going to even talk about winning the league. Like, it's more, if anything, it's other teams saying that, because that's the expectation. When you look at us, it's like, why are you not top of the table? So yeah it will come.
Do you think that's part of the reason why? Is I know it's a new squad, but is it that a lot of other clubs are putting expectations on you, that now it's kind of like the weight on you to, like, we have to get results, because otherwise we are kind of, as you said, like the expectation, letting yourself down kind of thing?
I think so, and that's what everyone sort of jointly would say. Yeah, and you have to embrace it. I mean, it's a good expectation, in all honesty. Like, there's no reason why, like, we, you know, the fact that we are going to get to play at Plough Lane, like, is mad. So, you know, that's for me is the goal. It's like, we have to, you know, up our standards. Like, it's on us. Like, training's got to be better. Like, stuff you're doing outside of training's got to be better. Like, you know, take care of yourself. And you know, we all work full time as well. So it's not like, I mean, a couple of girls are students probably still, but still, you know, you've got all sorts of jobs, you know, you've got PE teachers, you've got, you know, just all, I can't expect, like, police officers, like, it's mad. So, you know, everyone has stressful lives anyway. And this is meant to be obviously still professional, but fun too. So it's striking the balance, but also, as the club does become more professional and has goals, and they have to align with what everyone else, you know, is here to do. So Kev made that clear, and I respect him for that. He's done that from the off, and, you know, he knows where the club needs to go, and he'll do what it takes, and we need to then do what it takes to get there. So, you know, a lot, I mean, I could even say, like, I've been playing probably at 50%. Ash Hinks, like, you know, she's come in big, sign in, she would say the same thing. So, you know, players like us should be leading by example. So, you know, and you've got long-standing players, Hannah Billingham, Kelly Hyman, Kate Stanley, you know, Rebecca Carter, like, all these players have played such good standard football. It's like, you need to be on it. And it's, yeah, I think the fact that we all get along and we'll back each other, it will come. But yeah, it's just been a bit of a strange start, I'd probably say. Not expected. Bit of a reality check.
Yeah, it sounds all put, as I think the main thing, as you said, like, of all footballs, I said my boy plays football, and it's a lot of it at the moment I see around, like, in youth football, women's football, men's football, is the fun aspect kind of gets forgotten about nowadays, because it's all about win, 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 which is great. Everyone obviously wants to win every level, but yeah, the fun aspect, and yeah, I think that's what kind of gets left behind a little bit.
Yeah,
and people forget about it.
Definitely. And in COVID, like, I mean, that was my, like, I wrote, we had a guy that writes a big blog for women's football. I wrote something about the reason why, like, mainly I left Crawley, and I don't get me wrong, Crawley is a lovely club, and that, you know, I didn't burn any bridges, but I wasn't enjoying it. So, like, I wasn't there, like, and I still obviously know I can play at that level, but I wanted to enjoy my football again. and I don't want it to get that again. And I know AFC Wimbledon is the club that, you know, I've done nothing but enjoy it since. And when stuff's going wrong, you get those feelings start creeping in. And I'm so like, this is why it's good, because we've addressed those feelings sooner rather than later, before, you know, people don't really want to be here anymore. And that's not the sort of climate you want.
I think it's a great time for the AFC Wimbledon ladies team, because the men's team are doing so well, and it's that, that it is the fun. I spoke to Robbo previously, the women manager, and said that I wasn't enjoying football last year during COVID, watching it on TV. I don't like watching it. I'd rather go watch it live.
No, I got sick of it. I was getting like pissed off watching it. That sounds weird. I was like, I can't even play. And like, why am I watching it?
it wasn't fun watching. The standard that we were watching wasn't very good. But now we've got young, exciting players. And I think, again, it's the same as the ladies team, is that the way that Wimbledon want to play men's, ladies, youth is quite exciting for a fan to then look on it and go forward. Question, you talked about Plough Lane there as well. So that has been talked, you will be playing at Plough Lane. Is that saying, because I see that all the girls went there and watched the Wimbledon game. Well, how have you found Plough Lane? What did you think of the atmosphere?
Yeah, so obviously we came to the Bolton game, which, you know, Bolton on paper strong, so like they're a funny old side to play. Like that guy at the back, the big guy, he's Tom.
Yeah, he's only just got in their team during COVID, I think it was.
Really? They're well organized, like, you know, back in the day they were a good side. So yeah, I think it was a great game to watch, because you saw you come back, like massive comeback. So yeah, it was a wicked atmosphere. We went sat like the hospitality bit, so we were chatting to like some really old AFC Wimbledon fans. So I was like, right, give me the history, because I was like, I've heard things from like my family and like, but not like proper, like there was literally a 92-year-old man across the table from me, Ben, like he was a lovely man, but he was like falling asleep after a couple of glasses of red. But he was, they literally told us everything, and it was wicked to hear, like, obviously understand the history. So that was cool to have before. And yeah, to just be able to like see the atmosphere, you know, Bolton bought loads of fans. So like, it was wicked, to be fair. And we were lucky enough, you know, the couple of weeks, a week or two before, we were down there for pictures and stuff. So we got to see like the grass. I was literally, there was like someone like literally sowing the side of your pitch. Like, I was like, that's his job, like to sow the side of the pitch. Like, do you know what I mean? So like, I mean, it's ridiculous. It is like a carpet, isn't it? So it's amazing. And to understand, I don't think I can fully comprehend, because obviously not being an AFC Wimbledon fan and being on that journey with you guys, but it is so admirable. And the fact that teams will come there and will be happy to be there for you guys is such an amazing thing. It like gives you goosebumps. Like literally, then was like, I was like, oh, this like being at someone's wedding, like I'm just buzzing. So yeah, it's an amazing, amazing achievement. To have done what AFC Wimbledon have done on the whole, and for us to be able to experience it just from coming to one game, just from coming down for the day, and to then be putting on the shirt and understanding a bit more how it's important as well is wicked, to be fair.
Yeah, I sat in the East Stand right near the away end. So it was quite a bit of a lively atmosphere. So it was just unreal, to be fair. And so are you going to be playing on, are you hoping to play on the pitch and get as many fans down there as possible to watch the ladies game?
Yeah, so we're looking, I think our games at Carshorten until the end of the month, and then sort of beginning of October, which is scary to say, it's gonna be October next month. We're hoping, it'd be wicked. So I think they're obviously doing it when the men's don't have games on there. So yeah, as many fans, you know, it'd be great to have, you know, youngsters come down. I think you can see more. I mean, there was female fans at the games and stuff like that. So, it's, you know, it's a family atmosphere as well. So, yeah, it'd be wicked. I know they're going to have, like, everything open as well, food, drink and everything. So, yeah, it would be wicked to get everyone down there. I'd love that.
That'd be good. It's a question I could now get you in trouble with the rest of your team, if they listen to it. Is I was going to ask you, so who is the best player, other than yourself, obviously you can't say yourself, in the squad? And who would you say is a young player that is up and coming that Wimbledon fans might not have heard of, or people that follow the ladies team that you think is going to be something special?
Oh, that's a big question, isn't it? I mean, hands down, you've got a player like Ashley Hinks, who I played against as, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, and knowing how good she was, and a lovely, lovely person. So, yeah, she just, you know, she came in, she's, for me, she is our best player. Like, and I think it comes, like, with the name, with where she's come from, but also because of the person she is, she's just a solid person, you know. She does what she needs to do, sets an example. I think that brings that professional aspect to this team 100%. So for me, yeah, I'd say hands down. I'd be silly not to.
So yeah, as I said, hopefully all the girls will listen to this and go, Meg, why didn't you?
Yeah, I've chosen the safe option, to be fair. Yeah. I'll take that. Like, she was like all over the what's it called when she signed on. So our website and that. So yeah, I'll say her, but no, she's quality. And on her day, I mean, it's coming for her. I think, you know, she's had some big injuries too. So I think sometimes it's, you know, she struggled with a couple of injuries even in pre-season. So, you know, it's nurturing her and getting the best out of her. So we've got to know, and you know, and it's coming. You can see it. I mean, she's just class, to be fair.
And any young players that you'd say keep an eye on, that they're going to go all the way kind of thing?
Yeah, there's a couple. I think Rosie Russell, who's they're literally joint for me. Rosie Russell, there's like three of them. Rosie Russell, who's been in and out, she's come through the AFC Wimbledon setup. Emmy Oliver, who's just class, like, I mean, she plays well above her years. She's sent in midfield, can play. She's very versatile, to be fair. She'll play sort of right, left, wing back. And then we've also got Gloria, who my dad always goes, Gloria, but I think I'm like too young for that song. So she just got signed. She's got a call up for Hungary under 19s. She's class, like, really, really good footballer, like, same thing, plays well above her years. So we're very lucky actually to have, you know, some really talented youngsters, and I think that's so important. I think coming through into this club as well, it inspires more people to come here, even as a youngster, not more sort of on your late 20s. So yeah, we've got a really good balance of sort of young and older. But yeah, for me, I mean, I'd probably say Gloria, number one. She's a great little footballer.
Nice. So going back to yourself, what's your short-term and long-term goals? Like, say, for this season, and then where do you want to be, say, next 4 or 5 years?
Well, that's a tough one. I think there's the fact that 4 or 5 years, I'll be like 31, which is terrifying.
Yeah, sure.
I shouldn't say that. My boyfriend's 35, he'll kill me. Yeah, so for me, I would like to think this is the club I'm going to stay at for a long time now. I want to be part of a journey, like I've done it before, you know, with Crawley. There's no reason why, and it's actually got better infrastructure here long term to you know, go a longer distance. There's no reason why we shouldn't be in the league above. You know, whether it was to be something that could be professional in the future, I would never rule that out. But yeah, for me, my long-term goal is to still be at a club like Wimbledon. If it's not here, like Wimbledon, I'd like to think it was going to be. I'd not someone that likes to move around much, to be fair. I sort of get my loyalties and want to stay and see something out. But yeah, 4 or 5 years, I think. And the saddest thing is, like, as a woman, it's really hard, and especially, you know, when you get to a certain age, everyone's like, when are you having kids, when are you going to do this, and this is a big pressure. So I mean, I've always said, like, I'll probably be 30, and you know, I've been my boyfriend nearly seven years, so yeah, there's no pressure, but I probably will, you know, I'd like to think I still play at this level. There's a lot of women that do post children. So yeah, for me right now, short term, you know, we need to be winning games, getting results. But long term, I think maybe have kids in a few years, but not yet. still be here. I'd love to say I retire at a club like this. I can see it now. So yeah, hopefully we'll see. Don't talk about retirement yet, though.
No. Let's not put that on here. So another person I want to speak to, because we've talked about the women and men game, and someone that seems to be breaking in and was rumoured to be up for the AFC Wimbledon men's job was Emma Hayes.
I saw all this.
Yeah. Do you see a woman breaking into the men's game as, say, a manager, or a woman ever playing in the men's game?
If anyone was going to do it, I mean, she's absolutely, there's no reason why she couldn't, to be fair. I don't think it will happen yet. I think you'd have to have a savage CV like that, to be fair. Like, she is, you know, has been unstoppable, you know. So I think it will come, but, you know, it's like with us, it's the same thing. It's one of these things, like women's footballers being full-time footballers, like women's coaches being full-time coaches, managers, whatever. That opportunity is probably something that a young girl has never aspired to be. So there's no reason why not. If one does it, you know, there's no reason why more couldn't. But I think it will happen in the future. But whether it does or it doesn't, I don't think one woman sort of feel disheartened when they're not. Do you know what I mean? And two, I think it probably could happen, but yeah, it would have to be like a you know, Casey Stoney, or like a, I mean, she doesn't even have that much of a CV compared to, for me, I just don't think it will happen anytime soon, to be honest.
Yeah, because it's weird one for me, because I said, like, the ASC Women Ladies Manager is a man, and there's a lot of men managing in ladies football, but it doesn't seem to go the other way. And I actually found Emma Hayes quite disrespectful to ASC Women when she was rumoured to be going for the, well, she said she wasn't, but she kind of disrespected ASC Women as a small club. And I kind of get it. She's at Chelsea, where she's getting paid quite a good amount of money to be a manager of Chelsea Ladies. The training ground and stuff is 100 times better than what we're ever going to offer. But yeah, I thought there's only one club I think it could happen at, and that's probably someone like Forest Green Rovers. They're the team that have gone full vegan, and I can see them going down that line to
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I've never heard of them, to be fair.
They're League Two club at the moment, so that's the only one. But yeah, as I said, I found her views quite disrespectful against ASC Wimbledon, but then she kind of backtracked against that. So
yeah, it's a tough one. I think she's a very cutting woman, like, anyway. She's, you know, she's straight talking. She's not going to beat around the bush. So it's a tough one, really. I respect her. I've had friends that, you know, I'm pretty sure Ash has played under her, for example, so she knows what she's like, and I've heard what she's like, and I've never personally dealt with her. So I think she, you know, has to bring it if she's going to challenge why she's not going to take that job. And I understand where you're coming from, why it would come across as disrespectful 100%, but she might not understand the extent of what she said. But at the same time, you know, I understand what you mean. I was just thinking, like, I live like near a place called Forest Row, and that's that team that you've just said, like, sounds like a team that would come from there. But that's disrespectful. You're saying to me women that are going to sign for them. Oh, no. Like,
well, Forest Green's up in Stroud. So, yeah, it's they're a League Two club. They're like, they made their kits out of bamboo.
They
a full vegan menu, can't get any meat. Yeah, so they're kind of that kind of club that would maybe hire a manager to look kind of like we're different. We're kind of that kind of way.
I hope it wouldn't be just based on that.
Based on our CVs
that's
before, fun, which
that's
is
funny.
If you were going to improve anything in the women's game, what would you say that's lacking that needs to be improved or needs to be better to make the women's game better?
Well, that's a tough one. I think support, for me personally, women's game on the whole, because technically we're classed, even at tier three, which would be like League One, it's grassroots. So for me, it's not grassroots. So I think it's, you know, beginning to make it more professional, even at that lower level, which will come. You know, it's not far off, to be fair. You think how fast the top two leagues have come through. So for me, yeah, and even like access to things, like, I know we're very lucky at Wimbledon. I feel like, you know, if things did happen, we would hopefully be looked after. But even like for injuries and stuff, you know, we'd get advice at least from AFC Wimbledon. It's things like that, you know, that can say if someone got injured in this league and they don't get paid and they don't, you know, get any financial support, you know, they've got to deal with that on their own, sort of thing. And that's been quite a controversial topic of discussion in women's football for a long time. And it will get better. There's a lot of insurance companies and stuff that have reached out to us and stuff like that, who, you know, you pay, or the club can pay a certain amount of money, or you personally can pay a certain amount of money. I mean, with the NHS under so much strain, for example, you can't wait on a list for the NHS for like an ACL surgery, for example. It's just not, you just shouldn't be really at this level. So yeah, I think it's the whole, for me, the grassroots and professionalism. I know it will come, but I'm just being impatient.
Because as you said, a lot of the ladies team are working, like the students and stuff, but you've all got full-time jobs, and you don't want to be getting injured, it then takes you out of your job. And if you're there's a couple of people self-employed, stuff like this, it's the same as like kind of lower league and men's football. That could completely, well, it's not, because obviously lower league men's is professional. Do you think them leagues will become professional, or do you think that's way off?
I don't think it's far off. I think it will have to, because there's only 12 teams in like the top two leagues at the moment. I know they're trying to the FA is trying to streamline everything at the moment. So there's going to be, I've tried to understand it, but they're going to do a certain amount of relegations even in this league, and it's only like one can go up, but like a couple can come down, and it's coming there. They're obviously working on the structure of it. I mean, there's obviously a lot going on behind the scenes that, you know, we don't know, but it would seem that way, even making sort of bold comments like that. So yeah, I don't think it's far off. I think in the next few years it might. I mean, I think anyone that's sort of my age ish and onwards has got to just appreciate that you were part of something bigger, and you can't resent like players that are going to get the opportunity. Like, that's just not right. Like, that's just bitter, isn't it? So you've got to be sort of happy with what you've done. And I am, like, I'd happily sit here and say, you know, if I ended it and it still wasn't completely professional, of course I wouldn't be disheartened. But yeah, I think it's just about sort of accepting that you're part of something bigger. You know, and the same with people before us sort of gaining the opportunity for us. So yeah, it's coming. I don't think it's far off.
And I think where you said about the professionalism is I think there was a talking point the other day with one of the gang, again, talking about Emma Hayes. I think she came out and said there's no VAR or goal line technology in the Women's Premier League, when the Men's Premier League, they have it all the time. Obviously, they don't have it in lower leagues because a lot of clubs can't afford it. Mm. The Women's Premier League are playing at Emirates. They're playing at Man City. Why? And also, the second stadiums they're playing at are just as good anyway. So why are they haven't got it?
They weren't like King's Meadow. Yeah. So like, yeah, there's actually no reason why not at that level. I think, you know, it costs you games. So yeah, I mean, I think they didn't, obviously had one disallowed, didn't they? Or something went over the line. I saw that. Bit like a filler, okay. I think it's just one of them things. It will happen. It should happen at that level, even just to have like, it's even like officials though. I mean, they've got better officials in women's football at those levels than ever. You know, ours are sometimes debatable how good ours are. So sometimes they're great, sometimes they're not so great. But that's another thing, isn't it? So it's coming. I think you've got to sort of walk before you can, what's the word? Is that walk before you can jump? Is that the right word? Right. What I'm saying?
Yeah, walk before you can run, I think.
Yeah.
You're asking the wrong person to be.
You get the gist.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, yeah, so I don't know. It's coming. But, you know, that's what I mean. That's what she's like. And I know it might not happen anytime soon, but it's been brought up now. So, and it's come from, you know, one of the top dogs. So, you know, it can't just be at one stadium though. And there's still clubs in that league that, you know, struggle financially. So, It's a tough one. You can have the, you know, the best teams in the league saying it, but then there might be teams at the bottom of the league, you know, struggling.
Who can't afford it, they'll struggle to. Because I always thought the women would prefer to have better wages and better money for themselves and the facilities than, say, getting VAR in that's going to cost 100%. More money and get goal line technology. It's okay for Chelsea, Man City saying it because they've got billionaire owners who are going to be able to pay that money. But as you said, like a Bristol down near the lower end, they'd rather have the money in their pockets to protect their living and their thing. So as one of the more experienced players, we're going to be wrapping up soon. As more one of the experienced players, what would you say to young girls? Any like thing you would say to them to help them along to become better footballers or to want to be footballers? Because obviously I'm guessing that you've had, I don't know if you probably have, but you've had comments made probably online or to yourself growing up.
Since I was a kid. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Like, And the thing is, you know what? It's a funny old world, women's football, and girls' football, same thing. I think it's a really accepting place to be as well, for one. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. And I think a lot of girls, no matter who you are, do well because of that. And being a part of a team, you know, you might not be confident, you might, you know, worry about, because it gets to a certain age where you're worrying about how you look and, you know, your body's changing. And I think even as like a parent, for you to be able to go and take your kids to watch women play football at, and on like a, you know, a stage essentially, it's amazing. And a lot of girls, like I rarely got to go and see a game, because you just didn't, like, you didn't have a stadium, you didn't have a place to go. So I think, you know, go along and watch, like, you know, you might go, oh my God, like, she's cool, she really reminds me of, you know, me, or, you know, and anyone will talk to you, you know, players will come over and chat to you. So yeah, I think for me, I'd say go, you know, go and watch some games, you know, aspire to be like someone. You know, social media is so good nowadays. Like, you get insights into people's life, like, when you turn your phone on. So there's nothing to hide. So, you know, you watch even the big clubs, they do like vlogs and stuff. So, yeah. And growing up, it was a struggle. Like, you know, even boys saying things. I just don't think it happens anywhere near as much. Mm. But, you know, you do whatever you want to do. Doesn't matter what people say. Like, I never let it bother me. And even now, the people that did pick on me want to be my mate now. So.
And to the people that turn around and still say, nah, not having women's football.
Yeah.
What do you say to them people?
That's fine. Don't watch it. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand. Like, why? I just think it's like I don't know why it intimidates some people's, like, masculinity. It's very strange. Like, I'd be questioning, like, yourself. It's just weird behaviour. In my personal opinion, you know, I've had people, my dad's a hairdresser, and you can imagine him growing, you know, he's 62 now, you can imagine the things he got said to him when he was on a pitch, like, you know. So, you know, I've got a thick skin, and things don't, but I can reflect, like, deflect, like, people's thick, like, stuff. But yeah, to me, I've just never let it bother me. But at the same time, just don't watch it, bottom line, if it bothers you. But I mean, it shouldn't. It's just weird.
I saw a tweet the other day from a guy called Rob Large, who's an AFC Wimbledon fan. His daughter is a goalkeeper, and I think she's just signed for Chelsea youth. And he said he never gets it that he doesn't like rugby, so he doesn't watch it. So he wouldn't then go on Twitter or Facebook or socials and then start having a go at people playing rugby.
And, like, trolling people. Like,
because he's never watched it. So why, and also he doesn't like it, so he don't watch it. It's saying, I don't like watching Formula One, so I'm not going to watch it. But I'm not then going to go on and troll people that are trying to do it, or, like, say, oh, yeah.
Or be, like, racist or homophobic. Yeah. I mean, especially because, like, women's football, like, 50-50 on a team, like, you know, it's gay, straight. Like, no one cares. Yeah. But also, I was going to say about my dad, I've had one of my dad's clients, he was a very kind of a strange man anyway. I can't remember his name. He literally stood there in front of me, funny enough, like rugby, nothing against me with the like rugby, but he literally said to me, I don't like women's football. I was like, oh, okay, like, good for you. I was like,
yeah.
Like, I was like, how long did you watch it for? Like, he was like, 2 minutes. I was like, that, and that's all it, do you know what? It's the same thing. It's like, oh, I turned it on, I was bored, rah, rah, rah. Like, it's the same thing, but, like, we don't care. Like, we don't want you to watch it then. Like, yeah, you're not welcome.
It's not the audience you're really playing for, is it? So, yeah, no. I get that. All right, just before we wrap up, because we're coming to the end now. So thanks very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
When's the next ladies game? When are you next playing?
So we're at home, actually, big game. You guys have played Oxford United, didn't you? So, yeah, we got them on Sunday. It's a League Cup game. And to be fair, it's a tough old fixture. They're a good side. You know, they should be, you know, going Championship. Their manager's, you know, he's a good bloke. So, yeah, we've got them Sunday, 2 p.m. kickoff at Carl Shorten, if anyone wants to come along. But, yeah, that'll be a good game, to be fair. Like, they you know, they beat teams like Cheltenham in pre-season, and, you know, they're already on a decent run. So, you know, I think actually the last time AFC Wimbledon played them, they beat them. So, you know, there's the hope's not out there yet. But, yeah, it's if we did win it, that, you know, there's no reason why we couldn't go a hell of a lot further in the League Cup.
Good. As I said, yeah, good. So, yeah, so it's Sunday. Carl Shorten, 2 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah.
2 o'clock kickoff. So yeah, if anyone's listening, they've got a spare end on a Sunday, go down and support the ladies. And yeah, Megan, thanks very much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you.
No, it's been lovely to speak to you too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks, Megan. That was that was brilliant. Thank you very much.
They were really good.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.